I don't think there's anywhere better in the Netherlands to start a company more than here. This is the most entrepreneurial university in the Netherlands. We are building robots, we're building amazing AIs that I love as well. We're building drones, we're building a lot of amazing innovations. But we have millions of people that face hunger every single day. And it doesn't really add up because it costs about 13 or 14 billion now to solve world hunger, which is such an insignificant number to how much money is in the world at the moment. We are the last generation that can take action. So after that, it's going to be irreversible damage.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jacob, and this is UT Journeys. Wonderful series when we sit with inspiring students to talk about their lives, motivation, and most importantly, how you can enhance your study journey. In today's episode, we'll talk with Mahmoud El Wakil. Wakil is a CEO of Homemade, a core team member and lead digital strategist of Ocean Love, and a wonderful entrepreneurial mind. Enjoy. Hi, Wakil.
Hey, how's it going?
Today we have
UT Journeys podcast.
Exactly. Let's start with the first question. Could you tell us a little more about the Homemade for all of those who still don't know about it?
So I'm going to tell you more of a story of how it happened then. When I first moved from Egypt to the Netherlands, I realized that food delivery is very expensive. I never liked the quality of the food most of the time. It comes in either late or it's really not what I expected, especially like the price per compared to the quality, especially that I came from Egypt, so I know like the food. I can get really amazing food for a very good price. And I didn't really know how to cook, so I had to order so much food from different platforms. And yeah, and then I realized that, you know, like, especially after the COVID-19 pandemic, where I was watching on CNBC, other channels, like food delivery markets are exploding. And I'm like, okay, there's a huge gap in this market. You know, it's very not well serviced because I'm really not happy with the quality and I'm a very big customer for them. So eventually I met like Novelty. We had the startup workshop or the startup masterclass now. And yeah, that's where they said, okay, you have to think of a problem that you have and come up with an idea to solve it. So I immediately thought of the biggest problem that I have, which is ordering food. And they said, okay, now you have to think of a solution for it. So at some point in that session, it was very, very clear to me that there is a very easy solution. Like, my mind is always very good at solving problems. I think that's one of the best skills I learned when I was in university. But then I realized, okay, why not we order from our neighbors? Because every time I walk into my student house, I smell some amazing curries, I smell some amazing food, and I'm like, okay, I wish I can just order from these people. And I'd much rather pay these people than pay all of the big multinational corporations that I would be ordering from otherwise. So yeah, that's how the idea of Homemade came along. So basically, Homemade is a platform that helps you order delicious, affordable, homemade food, which is amazing quality, for an amazing price, while also supporting your neighbor that loves to cook. Because for me, it's all about supporting those people. And once we started the business and once we started having people making money, then I realized that, okay, this is really what Homemade is all about. Other than the amazing food and the price and everything, it's really about meeting those people and supporting those people. Because once you know a chef and the chef is your friend, why would you order from a big restaurant chain or anyone else? Because, you know, if you were a chef, for example, and we're friends, why would I order from any other place unless your food isn't so good? But luckily we have amazing chefs. But basically it's there to support the local community, to connect people together. Because for me personally, I don't know much of my neighbors. And like, after the COVID-19 pandemic, 60% of people, they say they're feeling more lonely. And what really connects us together is food most of the time. Like, so this is what really shaped Homemade in terms of the connection. So that's why we have our chefs, they deliver themselves. So not only do you have a more sustainable way, because we help them, we make a partnership with Swapfeeds, for example, to give them e-bikes to come deliver to you in a more sustainable way, but also you get to meet the person. You get to meet the person, you get to talk to them, you can give them feedback. Oh, actually, I don't like it so spicy. Or like some people are like, extremely spicy, please. You know, they're writing it in notes. And when they see them, also you get to talk to them, they constantly improve. Oh, I want this food on the menu. You'd never be able to do that with the restaurant. I'm never going to go to a restaurant and tell them, like, hey, can you add this grilled chicken on the menu? They're going to say, think I'm crazy, probably. But yeah, this way, it's very simple to do, and the chef would be more than happy to do it for you. So this is what Homemade is really about. And in the beginning of our pilots, we weren't charging any like fees from our chefs. We were just charging 70 cents, which go to the World Food Program. And basically, every time someone orders a meal, we donate a meal to the World Food Program, because a lot of people don't know this. This is extremely important, guys. So basically, the biggest problem facing the world at the moment, in my opinion, is world hunger, because we are building robots, we're building amazing AIs that I love as well, and we're building drones, we're building a lot of amazing innovations. But we have millions of people that face hunger every single day. And it doesn't really add up, because it costs about 13 or 14 billion now to solve world hunger, which is such an insignificant number to how much money is in the world at the moment. So if you look at the revenue of Shell, Apple just has like 200 billion just in the bank in cash. They don't do anything with this money. So it costs this much to solve world hunger, and no one's really doing anything about it. So I said, okay, this is something really for the community that we're building. And if we start doing this, and if we become, which we want to become, the biggest food delivery platform in the world, if we're able to do that, even if we're not able to cover all of the 13 billion or 14 billion, we will be able to attract so much attention to this that other companies will start copying it. So this is really the goal, that we do it that so that other companies start copying this model, where you donate a meal every time someone orders, let's say, even if it's not ordering food, even if it's ordering clothes. It costs 70 cents to feed someone for a whole day through the World Food Program, which is absolutely insane how we're not doing anything about it. But we decided to do it ourselves, basically. So this is also one of the key things I want to do with Homemade, is to end world hunger in my lifetime. And I think it should be quite easy. It's going to take time, obviously. It's not going to be happening in 2 years, but it is really possible. If enough people know how much it costs, if enough people raise awareness about it, and if we can get enough partners to join Homemade, for example, we can get, let's say, Coca-Cola to pay 30 cents every time someone orders, and we can have their products sold from our chefs, for example. This could be a very easy way. So now we want to raise a meal for every time someone orders a meal. Because I know for a fact, if I put a button in the end and say donate 70 cents, no one's really going to do it. So I would much rather have it that it's mandatory. We're always going to do it. Whether you like it or not, we're going to donate a meal for your order, which I think is a great thing. But it's quite a challenge, you know, to do. But I think it's very doable. We're going to make it happen.
Damn, that's a big vision.
Yeah.
But what are the steps that you made after you came up with all of that? Was it, you already mentioned novelty.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, when I like started on the idea, okay, the idea is great on paper, things like that. We started interviewing people, asking them, would you like that or not? And would you want to become a chef? And we saw some great results from it. Most people, I think 7 out of 10 people are not happy with ordering the food they order. So I just had to figure out how the heck can I make this possible. I don't know how to code. I don't know how to make a platform. I don't know anything about apps. So I have to figure it out now, which on your own, you cannot really do that, you know? Or you could, but you have to work really, really hard to do that. But luckily, I got into the UT Challenge, which I did reach the final of the UT Challenge, but unfortunately, I did not win. But I was the only one there without anyone on my team in the final. I was like going solo. I reached the finale. It was COVID times and stuff. And I really thought I'm going to win, and I didn't win. But this was the best thing that ever happened to me, because that's what made me realize, okay, now I got to do it in real life. So people can actually see how much impact we can do with this project. And yeah, I think that was the best decision I made before, because then I joined Novelty with the START program. And the START program was, in the beginning, it was quite difficult for me because I had to do so many different things, so many different deliverables, but it was really to put me on the right path. And I wasn't really sure how we were going to start doing the first pilots. So in grade 8, I had a teacher that I really hated. And she always used to tell us, whenever we ask her any question, you can go figure it out yourself. I'm not going to help you. But this was the best thing she ever did. Like, I love her now because she did this to me, because now I can figure out, if I want to learn something, I know that I can go out and learn it very easily. You can find out anything. So she showed us how to make websites then, and that's how I learned Wix. So we started our first website on Wix. So I built the whole system basically myself with no developers. Our developers are working really hard for the last 2 years to finish our app. If anyone's watching this, which is a good developer, please contact me. Yeah, but we're almost done with the app also. But basically, I had to launch. You know, we had to start with our first chefs without like any kind of complicated system. So I had to build it myself. So I kind of tweaked the Wix system to, instead of having like one restaurant, it's supposed to be built for one restaurant. I built it so that it's like one restaurant with like 6 different locations. So sometimes you can start, we were earning like quite some good revenue just from this, and people are making like, you know, some people are making a living out of this, just from this simple website that I built. So in reality, anyone with an idea, if you really want to do it, you can make it happen, but you're just lazy most of the time, just to be honest with you. And I don't think there's anywhere better in the Netherlands to start a company more than here. Most people came to the UT by coincidence, but I will tell you, this is not a coincidence, guys. In reality, this is the most entrepreneurial university in the Netherlands. We produce the most amount of companies. We had amazing companies like Toys Bezorg, like Booking.com come out of here. And your idea, which you think is too difficult to do, could be the next big thing, the next Booking.com or the next Toys Bezorg. And you have the support system funded by the UT, funded by the government, that is there to help you. So if you're not taking advantage of that, I think you might be doing something wrong, because I would say it's never been so easy to start a company, not only because we have Novelty and all of this amazing support systems, but because of AI, the ChatGPT that you're using for your assignments. You could easily use it also for your business. You can build your own GPTs to do the work that you usually do. You can use Zapier to automate your workflows. You can do so many things that you don't really have to, like most people think you have to invest like 10,000-15,000 euros to start a company. You could start it with probably 60-70 euros. You can easily start a company, basically. Just like we help people start a restaurant from their home, you know, efficiency. It's all about efficiency. You don't have to have to pay 40,000 euros to start a restaurant. You can start it from your home. We're going to help you start it for less than 100 euros. And these 100 euros, on the first day you open, you're probably going to make them back. So it's all about that. We're living in an age where these things are so easy to do. So if you have an idea, the best time to try and work on it and make a business is now. Because when you're working, when you're having a full-time job and you have kids and you have, you know, people to feed, you're not going to be able to take those risks. It's too risky. You know, you're not going to quit your job and make a new app, you know. That's going to be too risky at that moment. You're risking not only you, but other people's income, let's say. But for now, you can risk it all. It doesn't matter. Worst case, you're going to learn so many things. And whenever you go into a company, if, like, for example, if someone's coming to join Homemade and I know that they were a startup founder, I trust this person so much more because I know they've been through so many things and they learned so many things through it. So this person is like a hidden gem somewhere. So worst case that could happen is that you just learn so many things and that you fail, And this is actually something great that can happen, because the more you fail, the more close you are to succeeding. So like there is something that really helps me, like when I'm like, let's say, going to a conference, talking to people, asking for something. So what would you do if you know that you're 8 no's away from getting $1 million? So if you know that you're 8 no's away from $1 million, I'm going to go and ask every single person so they can tell me no. You know what I mean? So this is the mentality you have to have. So how hard would you work if you know that you're 8 failures away from the success that you want? Which is usually the right way to move forward. And I would say it always works. As long as you don't give up, it always is going to work, because, yeah, this is just how it is. Unless it's really unfeasible, it's too difficult, then you need to get the right people and the right team with you to make it happen. Because sometimes you're not the one that can build the app, or you're not the one that can build the solar panels, or you're not the one that can build like these kinds of amazing AI technologies. But you need to find the right people. And I'm pretty sure in our community here, we have so many bright-minded individuals, but we're all in the different journeys, let's say. But we need to meet and make it happen, basically.
In what stage of the company are you right now?
So now we're at the stage of the company where we have built our first proper version of our product, because before that it was the MVP. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say this is the full real deal that we want to have, because we still want to launch our app. We just launched our new branding. I would say, like, since we launched it about a month ago. Since we launched it, everything went more than, like, you know, more than 100% increase in everything. Our chefs are making an amazing amount of money. Some chefs, just on a bad day, they would make over 300 euros, basically. So, yeah, I think it's moving quite great, but I think this is nothing compared to where we want to go. So no matter how, you know, how every week you get higher and higher numbers, I don't see it like that it's there yet. You know, I want to be able to help more than 1 million people make a living or make extra income. And this is just the beginning, I think. But this is also what drives me to keep going. You know, even though I work per day maybe 12, 13 hours, I really don't care. You know, like I really love it. So like a lot of people tell me, oh, why do you work so much? Things like this. I'm like, yeah, they're saying like it's not healthy. I think personally it's the most healthy thing I can do, because I'm absolutely in love with it. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. And there's nothing that can make you more happy than making other people happy. And I think this is just how the world works. So if you, in general, most people think that, oh, if I make myself happy, I'm gonna be better. You know, if I really sit down with myself and make myself happy, obviously this is gonna make you happy. But then the true happiness, in my opinion, comes from helping other people. So if you help other people, that's going to get you unlimited joy. You're going to be able to work for 12, 14, 16 hours if it needs to. But just this would be, for me personally, this is pure happiness when you're helping people, when you're, you know, helping people achieve their dreams. There's nothing better to do than that. And in general, if you want to start a company, if you're not solving people's problems, it's not going to work. You have to help people in some way. So this is how you got to think about your idea. Okay, like, who is it helping and how many people is it helping? And that's how you quantify your dream and your ambition, because in the end of the day, if you're not really passionate about it, you're not going to continue. It's going to be too much work. It's going to be like, oh, I'm not going to take a vacation for a year and like I'm on summer holiday on the beach and I'm still working. But like, you just don't care about it. You know, you really, it doesn't really matter to you. But then, of course, there should be like some days off. You go out sometimes, things like this. But then this is why you need to really be passionate about it. Maybe you're not passionate about it yet, but then when you start doing your first tests and your first pilots, then it becomes really part of you, I think.
Because you're studying IBA, how did this help you in all of the developments in the company?
Yeah, I think in general, you don't have to start you don't have to study IBA to start a business. A lot of people think, ah, this is why, you know, like it did really help with some fundamentals, but I already knew some fundamentals, but it's just about like when you do it in real life, it's not really like IBA, but it does help you think in the right way with finance, with the basically innovation entrepreneurship module. This was the best module for me, but it did help me with structure, like how to structure things, how to get stuff done like this, and with also fundamentals in directing ideas. So you have to know to some extent an in-depth knowledge about, let's say, the sustainable development goals, because these goals are going to help you shape the companies. Because I would tell you something, we are the last generation that can take action. So after that, it's going to be irreversible damage. So if we do not come up with great ideas that are going to help the world and that are going to help the environment, it's not going to happen. No one else can like fix what's about to happen. Everything we've done already, it can be fixed. We just have to come up with enough ideas as a collective youth, let's say, and make it happen. And it's quite easy now. Now we have AI, guys. Like this is, it's never been so easy, I would say. And yeah, I would say this really, like, because I believe sustainability comes from the design phase. So if you design something from the beginning that is sustainable, then you don't really have to worry about it in 10 years when the regulations come, because you already thought about it from the first day you were writing it on the, you know, on the paper over there, basically. So, and I really wish more people would, you know, trust in their ideas, because most of the time when you have a great idea, there is, you know, the, you know, this negative voice that you have in your brain that's telling you, nah, you can't do it. You already have so many things that you're doing and you can really do it. Because when I started, and I started then the master's in the beginning, when I started really working on Homemade, I was doing Ocean Love. I was doing an internship in Delft and I was working on Homemade, plus I was doing the master's. And I would say it was so easy to do. It wasn't so easy to do. I had to work a lot, but it was fine. It was really doable. And yeah, if I could have done more things, I would have. But you just have to put yourself in a position where you have so many things to do that you get them done. Because no matter how many things you stick together and you're doing it, it's actually the opposite. If you don't have enough things to do, that's when you become unproductive, because you become lazy. You start watching Netflix shows. Ah, and I really want to watch the next episode. No, one more episode. And then you just get stuck in this loop. Otherwise, you get stuck in the loop of work. Ah, I want to get this done, so I have to take the weekend off. And I always used to give myself like an incentive. So I say, okay, if I finish until like chapter 8, I'm going to go out tonight. And I really like went 3-4 times as much as I used to, just because I know that if I finish, I'm going to go out. So yeah, you have to, you know, like also give yourself good incentives to do things. And yeah, I would say like don't incentivize, like don't think about money too much in terms of your incentive. It should be more something internal, and like it should be something that just makes you happy in general. So like don't, if you have the job of your dreams and it's gonna be unpaid in the beginning, and you have the job that it's okay but you don't really like it, and they're gonna give you like 2,000 euros, go for the one that is not gonna pay you, because that's what's gonna make you happy over the long run, basically.
But it won't pay your bills.
It won't. But like for now when you're young and you're a student, it's okay, it's doable, because you're still studying and stuff like this. But then, you know, if you do it for a bit and you show them the value you have, eventually they're going to pay you even more than the other job would. But the difference is you're going to be happy, because you don't want to get stuck in a career in banking and you don't like this at all. You're just doing it for the money. You're going to be miserable your whole life if you do that. But just, you know, find something that you would do for free and get paid for it, basically. Like something that you don't mind at all. Working your whole life for free, doing this thing, you're going to be happy. And go into that path. And there's so many paths, by the way. You don't really have to. If you study chemical engineering, you don't have to be a chemical engineer. Like, I don't remember her name, but she was, I think the, like, I don't remember what exactly. I think the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the US, and she was a chemical engineer. and she was great.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to do anything with chemical engineering, but then, yeah, like you can choose your own journey. You can take action, and if, yeah, in the Netherlands especially, it's very easy to start a company. So if you feel like you're into doing nails, you can do it tomorrow, you know? But it's just about you, what you love, and you got to find that. You got to find that as soon as you can, but you can only find that through testing. It doesn't, like, you don't wake up and you know. You got to try different things. You're going to say, like, oh, I don't really like this. Oh, I don't really, like, you're going to find it, but then the faster you find it, the faster you can move to the right path. And it's completely okay if you don't know what it is yet, because this is what these years are for, to really explore and take risks and, you know, just live your life also, you know? Because after you finish and you start working, life is going to be very different. When you're a student, like, we really were always like, oh, I can't wait to finish and graduate. Trust me, you don't want to finish and graduate yet, because these are really the best years you can have.
Yeah, I just love the idea that right now, literally no one expects you to do things completely good. And also I heard so many stories about, like, how in entrepreneurship having just the university email is helping so much with reaching to people.
Yeah.
So I completely agree that this is literally the time to experiment.
Yeah. If I could have a time machine, I would go back to my first year and start. Because it's going to save you so much time. And so, like, doors are just going to, as a student, people just open doors, you know? I wish I could pretend that. You know, like, hey, like, we're not really a company. We're just doing a project, and you can approach people. People are going to help you. You know, people love helping other people. And the only thing that's missing is for you to ask. Once you ask, people will give you what you want. But you just got to ask the right people and the right questions. And most people are too shy to ask. They're like, no one's going to help me with this. So they never end up doing what could have been a multi-billion-dollar project, you know? And I was just watching yesterday, like, the founder of Airbnb, that he was trying to raise $150,000 at $1 million valuation, which is extremely low compared to, like, they have $200 billion now. And he was saying, people are telling him, like, the market isn't big enough. And now, like, one every, like, I think $16 in the world is spent on Airbnb, which is not even something I could think about. It's not logical even. So, you know, like, small-minded people are gonna, like, criticize your ideas. But big-minded people are gonna try to find the problems and help you solve these problems with. So always be careful who you share the ideas with. Don't share it with your extremely negative friend. Maybe try to get, like, the feedback from him, because feedback is very important. And always avoid the assumption that my idea is perfect. This is not gonna happen. Like, I know, for example, that we're constantly looking for more and more things to improve, and this cycle will never end. And if it ends, then you will fail. Because once you think this is perfect, then you will fail miserably, because you stop caring about improving and about the customer. And this is how also, like, the Amazon model is, like, customer-centric approach. How do I get the customer extremely happy? And yeah, we have a long way to go for that.
I heard also the story that Bezos, in, like, the beginning stage, they were literally just sitting on, like, some things, like, taken from, like, second-hand store and so, just because he had this one rule that he's not spending money on anything that doesn't contribute to the customer happiness.
Exactly.
So good. And what do you like to contribute with the Ocean Love?
Yeah.
What's that?
So Ocean Love is an initiative. It's a global initiative that involves poets, photographers, videographers, artists from around the world. We've been featured on National Geographic, and we're part of the Ocean Decade, the United Nations organizations. And basically what Ocean Love is showing the ocean, like, raising awareness about the ocean, but through beauty, the beauty of the ocean. So a lot of people are not really aware about the problems that we have there that came from overfishing and the disappearance of the kelp forest and many of these things. And the oceans are actually the lungs to our world, because it's 70% of our world, but most of it is really not something we can monitor so easily, and we don't really see, here's a dead forest. You know, we can't see that. Only divers can see that. Most people don't really go there. But basically, we're launching also the Ocean Love Innovation Awards. And the Ocean Love Innovation Awards is a global competition that anyone with an idea that can help the ocean, just an idea. You can't have a prototype, guys. You can only have an idea. And anyone with an idea can go in, compete for 10,000 euros worth of prizes. This is for the first place. Second place is 5,000. Third place is 2,000, I believe. And you also get a lot of support for your idea. Even if you don't win, you're going to get really interested investors and partners that can help you with your idea. But it has to be related to the ocean, something that contributes to it. And anyone that has an idea, even if it's the most simple thing, even if it's as simple as getting a sea cucumber and planting it in a certain place, these ideas really have a chance, because simple ideas are the ones in the end that change the world. And anyone could have this idea, anyone could have this idea, but then they just didn't direct their mind towards it. And I believe when you put people in a situation where they have to come up with a solution, they always, impress you. I believe that. Because I've been in situations where there was a challenge and, you know, people always really, really come up with these solutions when it's a pressure cooker, when there's okay. And now, guys, it's a pressure cooker. So now it is, we have 2 weeks. So 2 weeks from now, we have the deadline for the application. So if you have any idea or initiative, it doesn't have to be something that can make profit. It has to be just something that can contribute to having cleaner oceans, restoring our forests, restoring our kelp forests, restoring our coral reefs, restoring or conserving our sea life. And there's some very, very alarming stuff happening in the ocean. But we still have hope. We can still restore it very easily. And there are people who had very, very simple ideas, like using human hair to contain oil spills, for example. You could never have thought about it. Someone, you know, thought about it by coincidence. Oh, I'm getting a haircut. I'm going to get it. So it could be very simple how you get the idea. But, you know, if you sleep on it, the next day, the shower, you could have the idea, like something like that. And there are so many ways we can contribute to this. So if anyone has an idea towards it, they should definitely apply. It's oceanloveinnovationawards.com.
We'll put everything into the description.
Yeah,
for sure.
Perfect.
Going a little back to the homemade and maybe to the novelty, how did it help you with developing entire idea?
So I would say novelty was a key part of making this possible, because otherwise it would have been too complicated for me, and I would have just, you know, I wouldn't have done it. So novelty really directs you into validating your idea. So there is a very, very good book. It's called Lean Startup. The Lean Startup. You probably heard about it.
I read it.
You read it. Okay. This book is extremely important when you're trying to make a company, because most entrepreneurs, they think they have it all done. They think they have it, you know, they have their idea. Okay, once we launch it, everyone is going to be ordering from there. It's going to be amazing. This is what they think. So usually they have an amazing idea. They get investors all of a sudden, and then they pump it out, and then they discover no one really wants it this way. So Lean Startup is extremely important. So they basically direct you using these principles, also through other validated principles, but they help you validate your idea. This is a very complicated word, but it's actually very simple. Validating your idea is basically testing what people, if people want your product, if they want it, what would they want also on top of your product? And how much would they pay for it? Like a lot of different questions, but just to find out if your assumptions are correct or not. And if they are not, you have two options. Either you pivot, or you perish. This is what the book says also. So either you change the thing and tailor make it to your customer, or you just fail because you're too stubborn. Most of the time people, you know, become too stubborn, but that's because they usually do it alone. But when you have them with you, there's kind of like an expert that is there with you to tell you, hey, like, it's quite clear from your surveys that this is not really how you should do it, you know? So it's just a really good helping hand. They help you also with legal things. They help you also with finding customers. They help you with finding team members. They help you with finding the right people to talk to. It's all about talking to the right people, I think. Because if you talk to someone that had a similar journey and they spent 5 years doing it, you might take, within a few minutes, like lessons that could save your company from failure. You know what I mean? You could save probably years or months worth of developing something because someone already developed it and failed. You know what I mean? So you skip so much time. And the most important thing is time. That's why the best time to start is now. Because if you wait for a few weeks or a few months, probably something's going to come up. You're going to get busy. You're going to be on vacation. You're going to be having... There's always going to be something. So the best time to start is now. And yeah, here you have the support system that you need. And they will also help you get funding. But don't get too excited about the funding because you need to validate and start your pilots and everything first before you start about thinking about funding. So these things are extremely, extremely important. Especially that you don't get funding or investment too early. Because if you didn't validate enough, if you're getting funding prematurely, you're going to just burn your money. You're just going to waste it on these mistakes. I'd much rather have very, very, very little money, make these mistakes on a small scale before getting a lot of money and burning it, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. So then how do you think UT Challenge helped you?
Yeah, I think the UT Challenge might be one of the best things we have in the UT in general. Because like since I was younger, I'm very competitive. So I love competitions. So I went into the UT Challenge on my own. And like I told you, I reached the final and I did not win, but it was extremely important. The next year when I went, I did win. And that's why we have amazing branding now also. And yeah, the UT Challenge is...
Amazing branding?
Yeah. We won a branding award from Creative Mules. Mm-hmm. So now our branding is amazing for Homemade. Yeah, Creative Mules is a really big branding company in Amsterdam. One of the top ones in the Netherlands. Yeah, and basically the UT Challenge has... over 25,000 euros worth of prizes overall. So if you have an idea, if you have a prototype, or if you have a startup already, you can compete with it. Unfortunately, the doors to apply is closed now, but you can always, you know, apply in the next years, and definitely apply in the next years because this is the best opportunity if you have an idea to get feedback on it, to meet big companies. You know, these big companies, even if you don't, you know, if you don't work with them, or even if you don't succeed with your company, they would want to hire you, you know? Like I had several occasions where I was talking to companies and, you know, talking to them about Homemade and talking to them about all the things we want to do. And they're like, okay, if you need a job, you can let us know. Because they really want these kinds of people. So even if you start and you don't succeed, they really would love to have someone like that on the team because it's a different form of thinking and working and... You know, it's someone that's really independent. You always want someone. I wish I had more people that are more independent on the team. They would be able to take decisions, think alone, execute everything. This is most of the time you cannot really hire those people because they're really on their own path. They can only do their own business. But yeah, basically.
If it comes to UT Challenge, I also heard many times that usually ideas which are really big are winning. So for example, things that may not be feasible to do right now, but they are so big and interesting that judges are more likely to pick those. Mm. Do you agree?
I don't really agree with it. It's more about like the ideas that are really feasible, that the people there are more dedicated. So something like how many workshops did you go to could could influence how the judges decide about you. And everyone in the UT challenge has a chance, as long as you don't try to wing it. You know, it's not like a project group. It's like if you skip all of the sessions, no one's gonna care, but they're gonna know that this guy is, you know, obviously if he's not coming to the sessions, he's not really gonna be making a good company. I can't really trust him with the money. But also, it's about the connections you build with the judge, like not the judges, but the partners. These connections are very important. And also the idea itself and the teaming that you have. So one of the reasons why I didn't win on the first year, because I didn't have any team. I was on my own. So it doesn't make any sense to give one guy 3,000 euros just because he has a good idea. But it's also about the team, because in the end of the day, you're not going to be able to build it on your own. And now, for example, it's much easier for like the team overall, because we have 10 people on the team. But before that, when it was just a few people, it was more difficult. But now also it's much more work for me, because it's harder to manage all of these people. But in the end of the day, it's really the team that's going to make the idea possible, because it's all about teamwork, I think.
Do you have any other tips for performing well and or taking a lot from the UT challenge itself?
I think the biggest learning point from the UT challenge would be that it's not really always about winning it. It's more about what you learn from it. So it's all about what connections you make with these partners and what, you know, what are your critical points? Because some people are going to come in and going to say, okay, this idea is not possible, because if you do this and this, this is not going to work. And these are the kinds of people you need to, like, the more problems you know about your idea, the more you can solve it, basically. So some people take it as an attack. Oh, why is he saying that about my idea? Stuff like that. But it's not really about that. It's you really have to take criticism well. Otherwise, you won't be able to do this, because you're going to be constantly being criticized. And that's really, really a big opportunity for you to improve your idea and to solve the problems in the idea. And the earlier you can do it, the better. But it doesn't always happen. But then, yeah. I think the biggest learning point from the UT challenge would be the feedback. The feedback that you get from all of these big companies, all of these experts. I think that's the biggest learning point, plus the connections you make. If you make a connection with, you know, like somewhere, like some really big companies like Rabobank or the Ministry of Defense or the police or Overijssel or De Jong & Lang or any big company, basically, later on, these connections are going to be very valuable. Maybe you don't know it yet, but if you're applying for a company and you already know like the head of the innovation manager, this could really increase your chance of getting this job. You know, even if you're not someone that wants to start a company and you want to work somewhere, it's a very good opportunity to apply, basically.
There is a other question regarding Homemade.
Mm-hmm.
Do you wish to be the next Tazbazark?
I want to be the next example for the world in general, like on how to create I want to be like a model for sustainable companies, which are also very big, because I think it's all about supporting the local community. So I think that in every city, in every country around the world, homemade food, like the mom's food and the grandma's food, is always going to beat the restaurant food. It's always going to beat the restaurant food. And that's what I'm betting on. And I know for a fact that the impact that we can do in developing countries even could be much bigger than here. Because if you think about it, here, it can really help people make extra income, connect with each other, become friends with their neighbors, help old people feel less lonely, all of these things. But in developing countries, dynamics are quite different. Gender equality is a lot lower in these countries, I would tell you that. And a lot of women don't participate in the workforce. And usually stay at home, take care of the kids. But I can tell you, their food is going to beat any restaurant that exists in the area or that even thinks about it. So if we give these people a platform, an opportunity to make extra income, potentially like something that could actually sustain them and their whole family, we're really going to be empowering those people. And we're really going to be taking this money away from the big brands that in most developing countries, firstly, most of the disposable income of people, it goes towards food. It's different here. Here it's only like 20-30% that will go towards food. Over there it's a much bigger percentage because the countries are poorer, obviously. And these markets, the biggest market share that is there usually, it's with very big multinational companies. They take the biggest market share because obviously they have the biggest budgets, they can hire the easiest people, everything. So that is where we want to do, you know, we want to do homemade to take the money away from these people and give it to the local community in every city, in every country around the world. And once that happens, that's when we become the biggest food delivery platform in the world, which I think it shouldn't be that easy because it shouldn't be that hard, I mean, because it also shouldn't be that easy. Because I believe in the community. I believe that people, once you tell them we can do something, they're gonna make it happen. And it's about the people, because in the end of the day, once you have the awareness, it's your choice. I will choose where my money is going every time I'm ordering. Am I gonna order from a restaurant? Or am I gonna order from my neighbor, or someone is here from Enschede that is cooking from home, or in any other country around the world? I'm gonna have to pick every time. And I trust that once people are aware and they have the option, and it's all about options, I think. If we don't have sustainable options, we can't buy sustainable options. If we do have it, then every time we do it, it's a choice. It's a choice between refilling my bottle or buying a plastic water bottle. Or it's a choice between buying a local brand, locally created, going into my local economy, or I want to support the big brands that are going to go to the big multi-billion dollar investors. And that's where I believe in people. So I know for a fact that once it gets bigger, once it's out there, people will make the right decision. But in the end, it's quite risky, I would say.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And getting to the end, if you could maybe share the last piece of advice for the new student here at U20.
Yeah. So I think if you, as a UT student, you have an idea and you think this could be the next big thing, it's never been so easy to start a company. And here we have the biggest startup accelerator in the Netherlands. So it's never been so easy. So you have ChatGPT, Gemini to help you make it possible, help you write your business plans, help you find the mistakes, help you do the marketing. And you actually have no excuse why not to work on this idea, because anyone can do it next to their studies. And this is the best place in the Netherlands to start, and potentially in all of Europe. So if you have an idea, please get to work on it. Even if you fail, you're going to learn so much that it's going to change your life either way. So yeah, this is my advice to you.
Kiel, thank you for joining.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I hope people are gonna start taking action, you know, even if it's by, you know, buying a little less plastic bottles or a little less multinational and support more local. That would make this podcast successful, I think. But thank you.
Thank you.